fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I got a chuckle because I just saw Kelly put in the chat, good morning from California, it's 4 a.m. So he's up at 4 a.m. watching this show. This must be a disease or something. Joe Carrico does the exact same thing. And, you know, I got to figure out a way. This is kind of like, it's kind of like Rush Limbaugh on steroids, Christian steroids, isn't it? Can you imagine what kind of national show we could have? We could change America. If we could just get on the Christian radio stations and talk about this stuff, if we could just do that. By the way, I don't know if you know this. I started my radio, whatever. I got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union in 1997 for praying with our football team. I went through a 2-year battle with the ACLU. Well, at the when I resigned teaching, I called the local radio station, WRFD, which was a Salem station. Salem stations everywhere. It's a big one. And I said, hey, I'd like they do daylight only hours. In other words, during the summer, during the winter, they're only like 7 in the morning till the sundown to sundown, sun up to sundown. That's all the hours. So when the day extends, then they have hours, you know, they go from 6 o'clock, then they go to 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock. And so they always had the opportunity to do new shows. And so I called over there one day just on a whim because my name was known throughout Central Ohio because everything I had been through. And I said, hey, I think I'd like to start I called Dan Craig. He was the general manager at the time. So I'd like to wonder, can I buy some radio time? I'd love to start a show. And you know what? It's amazing. He said, sure. She says, what do you want the show to be about, coach? And I said, well, I'm a coach. I'm going to be sports and the Lord. All right, cool. So I had to buy my time. I bought an hour. I don't know, something like $200 a week or something like that. That was a lot of money for me back then too. So I bought this hour at WRFD, and I went from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock on Tuesday nights only. And it was called Pass the Salt, but I talked about football, sports issues and all that. I'd have guests come in, stay with me. And so, I do the guest thing. We talk about how good Jesus was in our life, and he was a sports figure. And it's okay. But one day, my guest didn't show up. I showed up at 7 o'clock, and I don't know if you guys have ever had this happen to you. Probably haven't. But you're doing a radio show, and your entire show is based on your guest, and then your guest forgets. And that happened to me. Ken Johnson, he was a basketball player at Ohio State. And I'm watching the countdown on my clock, you know, I'm in the studio with like 30, 29, 28, 27, and boom, I'm live. And I had no prep, nothing. And I just started talking. Of course, they had commercials and all that kind of stuff. So I just talked for an hour, open phones. I talked for an hour, and Coach Dave Live was birthed. It was unbelievable. So then I did that just through those summer months. And at the end of the summer months, Dan Craig, the general manager, called me and said, hey, coach, how would you like to do a Saturday morning show? And so they set me up on a Saturday morning show. That's where I met J.R. Harrison and all that. And can I tell you what happened? I'm not making this up. I did my Saturday morning show for, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years. It was popular, man. It's a good show. It was popular with everybody except, anybody know who? You know who didn't like my Saturday morning show? Come on, who didn't like it?
The Christians.
Christians.
The pastors.
And so what the pastors started, they called WRFD, putting pressure on WRFD. And I think it was probably the happiest day in Dan Craig's life when I said, hey, I'm going someplace else. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. Had enough of it. And I went down and started another little radio station down WLRY down the line. Got thrown off of that one watched as well. And here I am. But would you guys agree with me? If they gave, I'm not bragging about me, if they gave me a national platform where I could talk about this stuff like this, don't you think people would tune in by the droves? But see, listen, I'm telling you, Christian radio is just as controlled as every other form of media. If, you know, yesterday we talked about all the different beliefs and all that kind of stuff. Well, WRFD Salem Radio is Baptist Central. And if you are preaching something that doesn't line up with Baptist Central beliefs, you ain't getting on Salem Radio.
Boom.
You would think at a time that we're in and the war that we're in, that somebody would hear me and say, daggone, that guy's edgy. He'd be good for ratings. Wouldn't you think? But see, Christian radio doesn't think that way because they are marketing to a very small audience. They have a very small, loyal audience, and they don't want anything that's going to break that rhythm. I just saw Dan Craig. Dan Craig was a guy that hired me. He went to California, which is where his home was, and he just won some big award at Salem Radio. God bless Dan Craig. He gave me the start. But man, oh, man, oh, man. One of the still to this day, I laugh about this stuff. To this day, the guy who does the, I think he still does Daily Show. I don't know. Daily, the former pastor who does the radio. Oh, he couldn't stand me at all. Happiest day of his life is when I got thrown off. I didn't get thrown off when we came to an amicable separate. I'm staying, stay with me today. Okay. I'm going somewhere. All right. So folks, listen, you are very, very edgy. I'm going to tell you this right now. If you haven't figured this out yet, you are on the cutting edge of edgy Christianity. Knowing this, the thing that makes this effective is we're not just one doctrine. We're not just one. We try to bring in Christians from other beliefs. We talked about yesterday, the end time, different end time beliefs. And when we did that, looked at that survey of how many people, the difference in belief in Christianity is staggering. It's staggering. And I like this one because I can try. I don't know if you've noticed this. No commercials. I've never had a commercial ever in the first time. You go to terrestrial radio, then they, you know, you have commercials and, you know, it breaks the flow of. But I love the dialogue, the call. That's what I love about this show. That's why I don't love my Brideon show just as much, because the beauty of Coach Dave Live is the interaction, what you guys think. And here's what you got to understand. Every time you make an opinion, somebody else out there has that same opinion. And what we see in controlled Christian radio is you ain't allowed to have an opinion, baby. You ain't allowed to. So just pray. Just pray that the Lord will use what we do here best way that he can. So I said all of that because a lot of people who are still watching at the Patriot Party News and on Rumble and some other different places are picking up. I heard from them yesterday, several emails when people said, Coach Dave, where do we find those links? You keep saying we're putting the links in the show, putting the show in the links. And if you're watching it on Rumble or wherever, the links aren't there. Friends, here's the way it works. Okay, now look, get out a pencil and paper if you need to, because I'm going to walk you through this. Those of you, not all of you, not those of you who are in the queue, you know what's going on here, right? But if you've just picked up Coach Dave Live and you know you want to share some of these things with your friends because you're not hearing this stuff anyplace else, here's all you got to do. First of all, hey, Spencer, let's go to yesterday's show, okay? Okay, folks, you go to Coach Dave Live. Now, look, hang on, stay right there. Is this on the screen for everybody to see right now, Spencer? Okay, so folks, look, I'm not trying to take anything away from Patriot Party News or Rumble or anyplace else where it would be. But if you want to, you can log on every morning at Coach Dave Live and see where it says that little green thing, join the queue. And you click on that join the queue, and then you're one of us. Then you can dialogue back and forth and ask questions, okay? That's how all people get in here. If you're watching it on Rumble or you're watching it on YouTube through Soft, if you're watching someplace else, you can't do that, all right? So then when I say to people, hey, it's in the chat, because there's a chat that goes along with it that you can have interaction. If I say, hey, we put that in the chat and you're not at CoachDaveLive.com, you don't get it, right? So Spencer, for those of you who watched yesterday's show, if you scroll all the way down, all the shows are archived. They're all free. Stop. Okay, so yesterday we did the show on nicotine. And Spencer and the guys do a good job and they put it up. There's yesterday's show. Nicotine is a cure. It's free.
It's free on my homepage. Okay, it's free. So you click on that. When you click on that, now here's where it gets tricky, okay? Down at the bottom are all of the links. Do you see where it says nicotine patch? Look at that. What did you click on, Spencer? What did you click on?
It just said show more.
Show more. Folks, you see that? It says show more. Every link that we play is there, but it's only at CoachDaveLive.com, okay? So when I'm doing this show, because I've been doing it so long, I say, hey, folks, we'll put that in the chat. Well, the chat is all these people over here who are coming in and asking questions and making statements. They have logged on at Coach Dave Live, and then there's a little chat box, and they get all of them. But if you're not watching it there, then go to Coach Dave Live, and as Spencer just said, show more, and then all the links will be there for you. All right? Cool, because I was talking – I went into – what's the name of that place? Rural King. I love going to Rural King. They have free popcorn and they play Christian music. And I go in there all the time. And I started up a conversation with one of the girls and I gave her my card. I find out she thinks like us, right? And I gave her my card. I said, man, you got to tune in because she's woke. You got to tune in to Coach Dave Live. I gave it to her the other day. And I went in yesterday and there was, she's working. I said, hey, how did you check the show out? And she said, yeah, but I couldn't get into it. So what do you mean you couldn't get into it? Yeah, I said I had to download something. Said, no, you're not clicking on the right thing. My shows are free. You don't have to download anything. Just go to Coach Dave Live. Spencer, go back to that homepage, if you would. Just go back to Coach Dave Live. Again, folks, there's more stuff. Every show we've ever done is archived there for you. Scroll on down, Spencer, so they can see them. Every show. Boom. See all episodes there. And then they all pop up. Boom, boom. Okay, cool. And a lot of other good videos. Sorry to take up 12 minutes of your time, but it's important that you guys know where you can find this stuff. And not only that, if I find another really good video, maybe one I did a Bridie on, or maybe a good video that somebody else did, we post it there as well. I think that's free. We used to charge a buck. Is that all still free, Spencer? Yeah, it's all just free. Everything on that website's free. It's all free. But that's why I gripe and moan all the time, friends. This costs me a lot production-wise to pay these guys to do this stuff. That's why if everybody just gave $10 a month and all this stuff is free and you can share it with others, man, it just take pressure off. That's all I'm saying, man. That's all. $10 a month? Are you kidding me? That would, you get four shows a month? That's 50 cents a show? 50 cents a show? Ah, come on. Okay. Look, people raise their hands already and it's going to get me distracted here. Go ahead, Rochelle. Go ahead.
This is germane to your topic. I just want to let people know if they're told to download something, it's probably because they do not have the Google Meet app.
Oh.
That's the only thing that you need to be a part of the interaction with Coach. It's a lot of computers already have it, but if not, it's real simple. And we can explain how to do that, but it's real simple.
Google Meet, folks. Google Meet. Spencer, could you pull up Google Meet download on this so people can – folks, this is important because I'm getting emails. People want to know more about it, right? So all you need to do is – it's Google. We hate Google Meet, by the way. Go ahead, Spence. Okay, good. That's needed for a phone. That explains why she couldn't watch it. She was trying to watch it. The girl I talked, she was trying to watch it on her phone. So if you're watching it on your phone, you need Google Meet. It's a free download, okay? But if you're watching it on a computer, you don't need it. Just log on, all right? And then you can get in here and you can visit with us and you can talk. Thank you, Rochelle, for that heads up there. Let get my mouse to work here. Had somebody else wanted to say something. Was it Jeff? Somebody else want to say something? Doesn't matter if you don't. Because I'm gonna jump on here. I'm going to move. Okay. Hey, yeah.
What I just want to say is back in the day, remember how you used to get people in Mount Vernon to tune in on Saturday mornings to listen to you? Yep. Then I'd pass out them newsletters. I'd copy newsletters, take them to church, pass them out. Them two Baptist preachers just hated me for doing that. And they're like, we got to get Coach off the air.
Two Baptist preachers wanted to throw me off of the air. Right?
Censorship was going on back then.
Yep. That's right. It's all the same. So, look, I appreciate all of you. I don't even know how many people watch. People say, it doesn't matter. I just know we're having a great impact because we're waking up a lot of people. And ultimately, you're going to wake up others. And it's not like,
I don't look, I don't get money on clicks. I don't get money. I don't get any of that. This is totally, completely, as they would say, listener supported. Okay. Every bit of it. Now, NutriSwish, and then, and Fox, we make some money off that, but we don't. I wouldn't put this stuff up on there if I didn't think it worked. I wouldn't do that. So it's good for you, but yeah, we get a little kickback on every one of those set. But if you watch this show in any length of time, we have no sponsors, no commercials, no sponsors. I want to keep it that way. Go ahead, Roger.
Oh, I'm just going down memory lane again like Jeff did. But I remember Saturday mornings. I loved Saturday mornings. I was in my mid-30s, late 30s, and there'd be you and a few other guys, and it was just, you know, it was fun. It was good.
It was fun. And we were telling them the truth back then, weren't we, Rob?
Oh, yes. And it was like, you know, it's sometimes I think people in the queue think you just arrived a couple of years ago. But I remember Saturday morning, I'd look forward to it. There was you and there was some money. There's always some money guy giving money or how to invest your money. And if you remember the local pastor that, you know, I won't mention his name, he eventually didn't like you.
He really didn't like me.
But I remember Saturday, I looked forward to it. I'd sit in my garage and do work and do things, and it was fun. So thank you.
You know what else is really good about it, Rog? We had a lot of non-believers listening to that show.
Oh, yes. No.
Because it wasn't just a basic Baptist soup over and over and over. Yes,
no, it was you've grown in your position and your presentation in relation to topics. I don't know if anybody would let you on the radio now.
Oh, but they need to hear it, though, don't they? They need to hear it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Well, the good
my.
News is I don't even know if people have radios in their cars that they listen to anymore.
It's not like it was, but it was good memories.
So I left WRFD and I went to WLRY, and I was on WLRY, which is really good because it was a very small station, but it gave me worldwide access. So then people could listen to it online. But the guy, the general manager who gave me the time, that was free. He gave me the time. I did 2 hours on Saturday morning. He died. And the general manager, you ready? The general manager that took over after Richard died started getting those phone calls from those pastors again down at WLRY. And boom, they booted me again. It's unbelievable, isn't it? It's unbelievable. All right. Let me get my life together here. Because Coach E, guests too. That's right, Coach. That's right. Look, hey, folks, I love what I do. And I'm not afraid to bring to you stuff. Sometimes I'm not really sure. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I don't know. I just ask the questions. And I know a lot of stuff as we say over and over, a lot of stuff they taught us is not true. So, hey, let me say this as we jump off here real quick. I'm going somewhere. Things are going to really, really, really start to ramp up. Really ramp up. Can I tell you why? Something happened this week that changed the whole, landscape. The whole landscape. It's obvious now Donald Trump will be the Republican candidate. They've done everything they could. Look, I don't want to get in an argument about Donald Trump. It's obvious they don't want him to be on. Or they're really, really good actors, right? They tried to throw him off, keep him from getting on the ballot. The Supreme Court said, nope, he can be on the ballot. And then yesterday was Super Tuesday, wasn't it? And he swept across there. There's no doubt now Donald Trump is going to be the Republican candidate. No doubt about it, unless they kill him. So the other side's going to become really, really desperate. That's the way I see it. Oh, by the way, it's a really good thing out there. I want you all to know that I don't do anything blindly. Judy Mikovits, I think it was Judy Mikovits. Let me get it right. Could be, yeah, I think so. No. Somebody else. Rhoda said, there's no way that Donald Trump didn't know the vaccines were not safe. He had to know it, she said. And I've watched that, and I mean, there's a lot there. There's a lot. Is he a plant? Is he really a two-card Monty? Is he really playing on both teams? I don't know. But I'm going to tell you this. It's going to be Donald Trump or that Democrat, that machine. Is Trump really against the establishment? I really don't know. If it is, it's the greatest deception ever. But we know this. Republicans and Democrats are on the same team. Somebody give me a thumbs up on that. The Republicans hate MAGA. And I'm going to say this. I'm not for Trump. I'm for MAGA. If we could have somebody we could put in there in his place, I'd be all for that. Who is that? Who would that be? I don't know. Jeb Bush. Let's put Jeb Bush in there. Right? So here's where we are. He's going to be on the ballot. And they are the crapping. So I want all of you to be thinking deeply about, are you prepared for some of these things that are going to come down? Are y'all really, really prepared? I don't know. So anyway, I want to show you about 30 of you sent me this. Trump's new ad. I want to play this real quick. No, I don't want to argue about Donald Trump, okay? We have to all come to that decision on our own. It's either Donald Trump or somebody on that Democrat. And you cannot vote, and you ain't going to change nothing. Donald Trump or somebody on that Democrat side is going to be president of the United States. All right? Go ahead, play it.
More than a country, more than a shining city on a hill, the idea of America lives in each and every one of us. America lives. But a storm has gathered at our shores. A tempest that seeks to tear apart the fabric of our nation. It seeks nothing less than the wanton destruction of this great nation of men and women. It seeks to rip out, erase, and supplant the very foundations of practicality and reason. It seeks to erase us. We know this enemy. They have existed throughout time, and now they have come for us. And they have come for our children. We watch the clouds coalesce and gather. We watched them form for decades from the distance as they approached our borders. We heard the clap of thunder echo in our minds and rattle down through the halls of our capitals. We have, most of us, become complacent, unaware, and disengaged while the darkness grew and unfolded around us. Slowly, then all at once. This threat is real. What we face is a hurricane of deceit and moral decay with the goal of absolute power. We face a true battle of good versus evil. If we stand by and do nothing, evil will triumph. But that is not our fate. We are great men. We are great men with a great leader. A leader that loves this nation and what it has given back to him. A leader who seeks the same ideals as we do. Ideals of truth, liberty, and justice. He sees the greatness in us and the great potential in America and its future. He seeks to make America great again. This man will guide us, but he cannot do it alone. It takes every one of us alongside him. It takes work, it takes faith, and it takes resolve. Together, we can fight this storm. We can fight, and we will win. Unite now. Gather alongside him. Come together for this nation. Bear the colors of red, white, and blue that are woven into the fiber of this nation, saturated with the blood of patriots that came before us. Sacrifice your time. Sacrifice your effort to rebuild this nation together. Together we can save America. The America that lives in all of us. Trump 2024.
Okay, Spencer, I got you another one I want you to put up there real quick. Now, folks, listen, are you looking at me? Are you looking at me? I've said for 6 months, I'm MAGA. I'm not Trump. If you could find a better leader than Trump to be MAGA, I'm in.
I'm all in. Because a lot of that, while we just saw, there's a lot of propaganda. Politics is all propaganda. It's all propaganda, right? But that propaganda, I agree with that propaganda. That's the kind of America I would like to return to, that I would like for my children and my grandchildren. Who can we put in place of Trump? I don't know. You got somebody? Well, sure as hell isn't going to be Biden. Now, I'm going to tie this together to you because Bobby sent me another one. This one is just as staggering because I'm telling you, all hell is getting ready to break loose. Spencer, can you pull that one up there for me real quick? Okay, folks, this one is maybe you can play it at 1.5 speed because it is almost 6 minutes. Play it at 1.5 speed, Spencer. This is called Your Incoming New World Order Soldier. Go ahead.
Not too shabby. You know what the difference is between me and you, civilian? I'm eating and you're not. You know, maybe you had a can before I knocked down your door and broke your windows. But do you know why you're in the predicament that you're in? Yeah. Did your country burn down? It's kind of like a Monopoly game. It's kind of how it works. We allow you, or the New World Order would allow you to buy property at a, you know, fair rate, fair market rate. And we'd be in control of the energy, like the electricity and the fuel to keep it warm. And we'd jack up those prices to almost where you couldn't really afford them. It's kind of like if you have a car, and it's a brand new car, let's say you got a Porsche, but you don't have any fuel to run it. What's the point in having the Porsche? See what I mean? And we knew that people like you, poor, worthless, weren't going to be able to afford it. And you'd have to give it back or you'd default on your loan. It's like a Monopoly game. And then when the economy started going sour, the people that you elected into office, they appointed these knuckleheads that destroyed your company and threatened you with martial law and threatened you with the end of the world if your senators and congress people didn't vote on certain bills that they were just trying to rush through to get passed. So in case you don't understand what I'm saying, would you happen to have a Monopoly game? I know you do. I'm going to show you what happened so you can understand it for yourself. But meanwhile, do me a favor. Get your wife over here. I need a little entertainment. As soon as we're done, then I'll explain it to you.
Yeah, look at all those poor little houses going up in smoke. Wah. All the poor people. Wah. Oh, my house is up in flames. I can't afford it.
So, what are we going to do? Well, I tell you what we're going to do. It's easy. We're going to have the Secretary of Treasury. And what's he going to do? He's going to fix the problem. He's going to throw money on the fire. That's right. Here, let's throw more money on the fire. That's how we're going to put it out. Yeah. Here, put more money. Oh, yeah, put some fives down. You know what? That's not quite enough money, okay? Maybe if we use bigger bills. Here we go. Yeah, how about some tens? Huh? 50s? 20s? You know what? This is really starting to put out the fire. It's awesome. Yeah, let's do it. Maybe we use some 50s. And we're going to take your money to do it. That's right. We're going to take your money here. Let's put some $500 bills on there. Uh-huh. Did that help? Of course it didn't help. They knew it wasn't going to help. You knew it wasn't going to help. But it felt good at the time. It felt good at the time. So what are you doing now? What are you doing now as all that hard-earned money, all that hard-earned labor goes up in smoke? Well, there's one card left. What does it say? Let's take a chance. Hey,
you get to advance to the railroad. Yeehaw! Get on the train.
That's right. None dare call it a conspiracy. Carry on morals and dogma. I proclaim that's all you need to read. Then you will have a master's degree in the new world order.
See, the point it is making, this is good to put in the chat. The point it is making is the government, the powers that be, are squeezing us so tightly that when we run out of money, we're so far deep in debt, we will have no alternative but turn to the government to support us. You see what's going on, folks? You get it? They're going to kick prices up so high. They're going to make everything so many shortages and so many different things that the only way that you're going to be able to eat is if you, yes, sir. Yes, sir, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Can we have some more porridge, please? That's a new world order control that's coming down the highway at us. It's reality. I appreciate Bobby sending me that because I think it really, really does show exactly where we are. All right, a couple more things. I want to go here. Go to John Kennedy. I'm sorry I'm showing so many videos, but these are going to prove a point. See, so many things we let the other side get, play this, by the way, at Spencer 1.5 speed. We let the other side get away with lies. Get away with lies. They have their set of lies that they play over and over and over. And when I went to Thomas Worthington High School, all the kids believed the government lies. Now, here's the government lie that I'm going to show you, and then I'm going to take you someplace else with it. Is an unborn baby a human being? When does life begin? So there's old John Kennedy, good old boy from down in Louisiana, down in Dale's area. And I want you to watch these idiots in front of him answering his questions. They are in control of America. It's not, hey, it isn't me and you and our pastors and our churches. Mm-mm. No, it's these idiots. Go ahead and play it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Professor Myers, you are here at the invitation of my Democratic colleagues. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yep. In his opening statement, my good friend Senator Whitehouse said, I want to quote, reproductive justice is economic justice, close quote. Do you agree with that?
I might, as an economist, use the word rights, but yeah, I do agree with that.
Okay. That's not true for the baby, is it?
Well, first of all, I would refer to a fetus. Not
yeah,
a baby.
But that's, well, a fetus. I refer to it as a baby. That's not true as a for the baby, is it?
The evidence that I presented to you, Senator Kennedy, was evidence about measurable effects on the lives of women, families,
right. I got that part, but that's not true for the baby, is it?
I'm sorry, I don't really understand.
Well, it's not true. Let me be clear.
Let me back
sorry.
Up. As an economist, I measure effects using data. I'm not here to talk about ethics, assignment of right. personhood. That's not my
Well, but you
role.
Said you agreed with the chairman's statement that reproductive justice is economic justice. There is no economic justice for the baby because the baby's dead, right?
I wouldn't refer. I don't really know how to answer your question. I would refer
was
to
Was the baby
fetus.
Dead or alive?
We're referring to a fetus.
Okay. Is the fetus dead or alive after an abortion?
The fetus would be dead after
okay,
an abortion.
Okay. Right. If the mother is healthy and the baby is healthy, do you support abortion up to the moment of birth?
So I think that's... That's a really hard question to answer because that just doesn't happen. You're asking me about something that simply doesn't happen.
Well, it's legal.
I will tell
it's
you.
Legal,
that,
it's legal in Vermont, New Jersey, Oregon, Colorado, New Mexico, Alaska, and the District of Columbia. And the loon wing of the Democratic Party supports abortion up to the moment of birth. So do you support that or oppose it?
I don't think. Let me say, I'm here to talk about the economics of abortion.
No, you're here as an expert.
And
I think you're asking
me a question as a person, which I'll answer as a person.
Okay, tell me as a person.
I will tell you as a person that I have ambivalence about abortion. I will tell you as a person, I haven't personally had an abortion. And I will also tell you as a person, looking at the evidence around me and understanding how complex the decisions are that people face,
okay.
I'm just simply uncomfortable
I gotta move on,
thinking that there's a simple
I don't think
answer.
Okay, that's good enough. That's good enough, right? This is God. You can put this in chat because this is worth watching as well. This guy's really good. He's really good. So when does life begin? They say, you know, that's the question. That's the question, coach. Nobody knows when life begins. Do you guys really believe that? Do you really believe that nobody knows when life begins?
No.
Come on. You're smarter than that, right? So I thought, come on here. They can't. So bring up for me number three. Number three. When does life begin? This is PubMed. PubMed. Just the facts. Just the facts. Because, see, if we could determine that that fetus, no matter what you call it, was a human being, could you kill it? That's the debate. See, they won't even call it what it is, because if they called it a baby. So here's an abstract, okay? Peer-reviewed journals in the biological and life sciences literature have published articles that represent the biological view that a human's life begins at fertilization. This is biologists. This is biology study. As those statements are typically offered with explanation or citation, the fertilization view seems to be uncontested by the editors, viewers, and authors who contribute to scientific journals. The medical world knows this, folks. However, Americans are split on whether the fertilization view is philosophical or religious. 45, biological or scientific, 46%. And 38% of Americans view fertilization as the starting point of humans' life. Only 38% of Americans view fertilization as the starting point of human life. In the two studies that explored experts' views on the matter, the fertilization view was the most popular perspective held by public health and IVF professionals. Since a recent study suggests 80% of Americans view biologists as the group most qualified to determine when a human's life begins. 80% of Americans say we have to ask the biologist. That's why you see these people when they get before Congress and say, well, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a biologist. Right? So what? Americans view biologists as a group of most qualified to determine when a human's life begins. Experts in biology were surveyed to provide a new perspective to the literature on experts' views on this matter. Biologists from 1,058 academic institutions around the world assessed survey items on when human life begins, and 96% affirmed life begins at fertilization. Now, friends, why are we having the debate? Why are we having the debate? How can this a-hole get on there and say, well, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a doctor. 96%, 5,300 out of 5,500 says, yeah, life begins at conception. Yeah, life begins at conception. Go to number five. I'm going to open it up here. You know what I like coming in here for? Because you never know what we're going to talk about, do you? When does life begin? Well, human life comes into existence just a fraction of an instant. You have a human egg and a human sperm, and their sole purpose in life is to meet each other and fuse to create a human, one-cell human being. Now, hang on, Dr. Paul. We asked Dr. Paul because he's the expert. Dr. Paul, would it be true to say that the sperm would have to be living and the egg would have to be living? You couldn't have a dead egg get fertilized, could you, Paul?
Correct, Coach.
Yeah, and the sperm would have to be alive, or it couldn't impregnate an egg, right?
Correct.
So we know we have two life forms. We have two life forms coming together. And when they come together, what happens? Well, a different life form is created, but it wasn't the beginning of life. It was the beginning of human life, a different life form than just a sperm and an egg. Scroll on down, Spencer. So we all know when life begins, right? We all know when life begins. What do the experts say? Then we can go again. What do the experts say? The American College of Pediatricians concur with a body of scientific evidence that human life begins at conception. Well, what are we fighting about then? The hell's going on? We want to talk to the experts, right? We want the experts unless it disagrees with the devil. If the expert disagrees with the devil, well, we can't have that then. We can't have that. So women have a right to choose to murder. Well, they don't have a right to choose to murder. Now, I'm not going to go on down through this because it's pretty thick. But it's all, folks, there is no doubt when life begins. Ask the biologists. Now, that wicked woman who we just watched, I don't know. Golly, how could I say? And what did old John Kennedy get her to admit? Yeah. That even if it's a fetus, if you do an abortion, you kill it. You kill it. Can I tell you what the problem is? The church doesn't even know it.
Amen.
The church believes the lie that it's a blob of tissues. Come on in, Craig.
First, I agree. Life is.
By the way, hang on, Craig. Jeremiah 1, verse 4. Before I formed thee in the womb, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Huh? What?
Amen.
But see, a little baby, I'm sorry, Craig, hang on. Because a little baby, we have some grandkids. I have some grandkids. Several of them can't talk yet. I'm telling you, they're every bit a human being, man. Every bit of a human being. Every bit. When did they become that human being? Well, at the moment of conception. So in other words, they're not real human beings yet because they can't talk. Would I say that? Huh? Little Coco, she can't talk. She's not a human being. Little Quinny, she can't walk. She's not a human being. She can't feed herself. She can't wipe her butt. She's not a human being. Well, at what point then do we become a human being? Go ahead, Craig.
My point isn't the argument that I'm going to make with it. Using absurdity to expose absurdity, okay? Yep. Life does begin at conception. But let me ask you this question. Have you ever been in a hospital with a loved one and they're hooked up to an IV, an EKG? Have you ever heard code blue? Do you know what code blue means?
Mm-hmm.
That means somebody's heart has stopped and the team that's going to go in there and perform CPR on that person to try to save their life. Now, that's a human being, whether they're 50 years old, 90 years old, 15 years old. Why is it okay to stop the heartbeat of a human being that hasn't come out of the uterus yet?
Hmm.
Why is it okay for the heart to stop there, but it's not okay in a hospital when you call code blue? They're both human beings. If you want to be scientific about it, take the fetus, get the DNA out of it. They're, by definition, it's a human being.
Oh, but Craig, they're not sentient. They're not thinking. They don't know what transgenderism is yet. They don't know how to be homosexuals yet, right? That's the argument that you and folks. The church lets them get away with that argument. And Craig, you're exactly right, man. That's why, by the way, they want assisted suicide because the devil wants to kill every seed if he can. He hates the seed of the woman. My. Were you done, Craig? I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm just saying about the heartbeat. You know, that's a hard just. It's good to give these people. You know, you were talking about the other day. Ask them questions. Uh-huh. Ask them that question. Why is it? In the hospital, heart stops. They call code blue.
They know that
the heart stops in the womb. It's economic, justice or whatever.
Yeah, amen. Words. They let us. God, they're so scandalous. Jack, then Lorian.
Yeah. How do they know there's an eagle in that egg? That is on TV all around the world. They're watching this nest in California the just amazing, amazing videos of the parents covered in snow protecting that egg. But there's no eagle in there. There can't be an eagle.
And it's a crime.
No, wait.
It's a crime if you kill that eagle.
If you kill it. No, it's a crime if you touch the nest. It's a crime just touching the nest.
Hmm. We're sick, man. We are sick. By the way, church goes along with all this stuff, right? Church believes lies. Lauren.
I found this on Google. I know that fetus is translated, little one, but you can just Google fetus translated. And I put it in the chat. It says fetus is a Latin word that means the bearing, bringing forth, or hatching of young.
Right.
So, I mean, when they're using the word fetus, you can just say, okay, this is the definition of it. So hatching of a young is still a human being. And,
but you know, Lorianne, we turn to economics. See, we say, well, why should she have to have a baby if she can't afford it? Right. So if you can't afford the baby, then murder it. It's okay to murder it. Right. See, this would be so simple. They could just adopt
it. And then you bring it back. If you're going to talk about the economic, you know, effect on it, there's a couple different ways you look at it from an economic situation. Is how many taxpayers are you killing through an abortion and destroying a nation? And then on top of it, how much money is being made per abortion per state?
Well, Lorianne, let me take it a different direction. See, same direction, really. We're financially in trouble because we killed all the taxpayers. 60 million taxpayers we paid. That's why Social Security is in trouble. And by the way, I want you all to grab yourself around the waist and hold on, because Social Security ain't going to be there. Maybe next year. Maybe as soon as next year, Social Security ain't going to be there. That's why they killed off so many people with COVID. Those people paid all that money in and never got a penny out of it. Their family didn't get it. There's no inheritance. The government swallowed it up. Boy, someplace they're wringing their hands at how much money they made by killing off all those old people. Man, Dr. Paul.
You know, I bring up this topic every time I talk to, like, Peter Pawlowski and Lee Merritt. It came up yesterday because I always bring it up. I come here because you always bring up the abortion thing. And it always comes down to one thing, and it's the first thing in the Bible. I mean, he's trying to abolish man. Satan is trying to abolish us.
Yes, sir.
And I, you know, I bought, how about all these double-blind studies proving this is life? We don't need it. It's self-evident. It's obviously life. And so they went to the courts, Roe v. Wade, and made it a commodity. How evil is that, Coach? Yeah. Here we are. This fight doesn't end till abortion ends, by the way.
So, Paul, what do doctors, when doctors get together, is the consensus that thing is not a baby?
No, Coach. I asked one of the smartest men in the world, as far as I can see, a pediatrician, Peter, about a week ago. And I asked him what his views were on abortion. He does neonatal care. He's a premier pediatrician that just loves children. And I asked him, he was stunted by the question. You know what he went back to? It's a woman's choice, but I don't like it. The problem is, it's a woman's choice to murder a baby.
He knows it's a baby. It's his expertise, right? Unbelievable. The church thinks choice is okay. Dave Allison or Sherry, you guys hang out together, I know.
Yeah, obviously, they already touched on it, but anytime you can use the negative impact, financial impact of a child, you could argue that against any child. Yeah. But did you notice, and again, the love of money is the root of all evil. So they're trying to say the love of money is why we're going to kill this child. But did you notice her body language when that guy turned the tables on her and she couldn't make an argument. She couldn't defend her case when it came to the baby. And so that was the same body language you see in your pastor when he can't defend his theology. He wants to shut down the conversation right there.
That's what they call being politically incorrect, doesn't it? When you go to the heart of that issue and they have to make a value judgment, they will not make it. They will not make that value judgment. Angie, come on in. By the way, value judgment. Value means worth. Worth. What's the value of that little baby? Go ahead, Angie. Randy, go ahead. We'll get back to Angie.
Coach, what we see happening is every selfish, idolatrous, evil, anti-God issue, every one of them can't sustain itself. So what we see happening is truth, the word of God, truth, is letting them take them down, their self out. See, the feminists are taken out. Now the transgenders, the next group will rise up and it'll say, no, you're not right or good enough. and they will take them out. It's a cycle that will never stop until you finally you move into the kingdom of God and truth. And that's what they're eating themselves, Brian. Yes, thank you. That's what's happening. Even with abortion, Coach, they have to create another market because the truth is going to come out that it is a life. It is from the day, the moment of the conception. They can't stop the truth, but they can keep changing a new issue, making it a new issue. And that's what we see.
They cloud the issue, right? They cloud the issue.
It's always going to be a lie, though, Coach. It'll just be another lie. And the unrighteous people, they're caught up in that cycle. They can't get out without truth. You can't get out of it. And we can, and we can tell them. So we have to keep our voice loud and strong.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to show you something. We'll send it to you. Come on in, Angie. Let's get you in here now.
Hi. Sorry, I had to switch over to my computer. Right. I don't know what it was about. Right. So you kind of hit on what I wanted to talk about was how over the last 50 years, we have culturally dismantled the language and the words and the concept that a baby scientifically, biologically is a human entity that deserves the right to live. And when we try to tell people, and I think it was Craig that was talking about how, you know, well, you have to tell them, why is it okay to, you know, stop a heartbeat out, you know, inside a womb, but it's not okay outside. They don't care. That's the reality. We're literally living in a culture that does not care about human life. They don't. They cherry pick the life that is valued to them, and that's it. So we've got to start working on getting to our children and indoctrinating them into believing that all life is precious, including the unborn. And until we start preaching that in our own families, even we're not even going to be able to touch the school systems at this point. So,
amen. Okay, so let me show you this. I just sent it to you, Spence. Pull that up there. I just sent it to you. So I you know, this way my mind works. You guys can do this too. Get your mind to work a little bit. I said, hey, Google religious views about abortion. What do Christians think about? Scroll on down. Views about abortion from Christians. Now, the blue line means legal in all or most cases, all right? Well, look at that. 82% of Buddhists think it should be legal all the time. Folks, 40, what number is that? 40-some percent of Catholics? 48% of Catholics think it should be legal? Evangelical Protestants, 33%. The Hindus, look at historically black Protestants. Are you kidding me? The majority of abortions are on black children, and the black church thinks it ought to be legal. 52%. Boy, it's amazing. Look at the Jewish people, huh? 83% of Jews think abortion. Mainline Protestants, 60% of them think it's okay to kill a baby. We're sick, aren't we, friends? Huh? We're sick. Scroll on down. Let's see what other good information they have. Huh? This is what they've done. This is what the schools have done to us. This is what the watering down of the gospel has done to us. We now have the same views as the secularists, right? Belief in God by views about abortion. Do they believe in God? Let's see. 50 legal in most cases. 50% of people who believe in God thinks abortion should be legal. What's the one below it? What's the one below it there? Legal in most cases, 79%. 79 of people who say they believe in God think abortion should be legal in most cases. 79% of them. Illegal in most cases. Oh, okay. Don't know. Don't know. Okay. All right, cool. Trent, come on in.
Coach, the Christian church of today, the true Christians opposed slavery. The true Christians made hospitals, all these things. This is what they did. The true Christians were us as of now saying, look, no abortion whatsoever. We're sorry. You cannot murder life.
That's right.
You can't do that. That's the true Christian. The true Christian then was saying, I'm sorry, this black man, woman, child is a human. You cannot enslave this person. The same, no good, do nothing, sorry, yellow back church.
That's it.
We're saying They were the incrementalists. Well, you can't just let them all go. You know, you can't let all the slaves go. It'll ruin the economy. Blah, blah, blah. You know, that's the same thing that was going on then. They wrote, they're going to write books about y'all saying these people stood up when abortion was at the forefront. They stood up for the whole time saying no abortion whatsoever.
None. None.
So this is good, Coach. We're at the front line of this. Amen.
We have elevated the individual. Love thy neighbor as thyself. We have taught in church, love yourself, and then if you have any left, then maybe your neighbor. That's where we are. That Christianity, for the most part, is all about you and you having a better life. Rochelle.
Thanks, Coach. I just, you know, with it, the Jewish section interested me. I used to work for a woman who was transitioning from Christianity, and she was marrying a Jewish man into Judaism. And so she would come and she would tell me, you know, some of the things. And one of the things about abortion was this one rabbi, well, it's inspired by the Talmud, okay? This is all from the Talmud, that until 40 days, it's just water. So that's where you get your blob of tissue. And then other rabbis will explain that until the baby has breathed in the breath of life. So until the baby has taken life into its lungs, it's not a person.
Right.
These are, of course, not scientific. They're not religious. None of that is in their real Bible. But they just don't think there's anything wrong with it because their pulpit's telling them it's fine.
Paul, would it be safe to say that a baby in the mother's womb is breathing oxygen, just not with its lungs? Is oxygen circulating through the baby in the womb?
Just like a sentient being, the whale and the dolphin.
Yeah. Come on, man. How stupid do we let them get away with this stuff? It's our own damn fault, by the way. Kevin, come in.
You caught me off guard there.
I do that all the time.
You do that. And that's what I love about you. You catch me off guard. In Missouri, we had a law set up so that as soon as Roe v. Wade got kicked out of the Supreme Court, then Missouri was going to be an anti-abortion state.
Yeah.
However, we had not fixed our initiative petition system, and it's likely that there will be a initiative petition on the November ballot to bring abortion back in Missouri.
In Kansas,
they had that same initiative petition that you can't smoke a joint over in Kansas, but you can abort your baby. Mm-hmm. Now, Missouri, you can smoke a joint, but you can't abort your baby yet.
So, the church would be more against smoking a joint than it would be killing the baby.
Yep. Yeah. Anyway, so, and I caught some mainstream news last night that they were really excited that France made a constitutional amendment that you have the right to abort your baby. And it was like 704 and only 72 against in France. And that was just yesterday evening. So they're talking about the 16 states that in this country that have outlawed abortion. So this is going to be still a huge issue, and I cannot believe for my life that this is an issue like this. I just cannot.
Amen. Hey, Kevin, I got to wrap up. Listen, folks, if you're interested in going to a local political event here in Ohio Saturday night, email me, and I'm going to invite you to it. People are getting together, getting their heads together, figuring out how we're going to be able to do that. Now, Randy, you can't come in from Oklahoma, and Paul, you can't come in from Maine. But if you're in the central Ohio area and you'd like to be part of something, email me, say, Coach, I'd like to come. I'd like to come, and I'll get you the details. Got to run. Huh? It's our own daggone fault. It's the church's fault. Everybody join with me. It's the church's fault. See you tomorrow.
Yep.